So what exactly can the iPad do that laptops can't do?
Well, I suppose I start off our workshop saying that the iPad is not really, not yet a replacement for
Absolutely,
a laptop.
Yeah.
There's an overlap between iPads and laptops. Laptops are good at a lot of the high-powered stuff that iPads don't really do all that well yet. And laptops are really good at managing files that iPads are a little bit fiddly and clunky with. But iPads do a whole lot of really interesting things, and iPads do particularly a lot of good things in terms of being personal computing devices that are right next to you, at your fingertips, that communicate very instantaneously with people, surf the web, gather all sorts of information, put things together, and allow you to sort of reuse and reproduce and make your own content and disseminate and distribute it almost instantaneously. It's a very good kind of community learning kind of device.
Yeah. Primarily, universities become interested in iPads because of the e-textbook or the e-publication. That's a really big issue. And, of course, it saves weight, it saves cost, it makes it far more manageable for the students. But as Ian was saying, there is so much more that the iPad can do by way of collaboration, by way of interaction.
How is it exactly that students can use the iPad in the lectures and classrooms to learn?
Its ability to process and read and be used as a textbook or an extension to a textbook. Right. And also one of the main motivating factors for the university has been that how fast knowledge changes. And so conventional paper-bound textbooks have a tendency to be regularly out of date very right. quickly, and you end up with a $300 brick that's no longer relevant. But also, you know, when you walk into a room now, everybody's connected with something usually. Instead of having everybody distracted on Facebook, there's ways in which we can pull them all together into one unit. Ian?
Yeah, and there's some other interesting things that one can do with iPads that we haven't really been able to do very well with previous sorts of devices. So, for example, I mean, it sounds very simple and it's a no-brainer in many ways, but instead of showing your PowerPoint on a data projector and getting students to download the PDFs or whatever afterwards, using iPads, you can send the document out to students in class. The students can have the document there on their iPad. As you're talking to the students, they can be annotating the PDF or whatever format you send it out on. With some programs, the students can actually be sharing their notes with each other. And also, you've got back channels provided whereby students can be sending in questions to the teacher or sharing comments with other students as the class is going on. So we've got all these possibilities for communication, noting, dialoguing, which kind of happening on the spot at the time.
Well, with the iPad, you've spoken about all of these things that it can do, but that comes with downloading apps. Is there anything that the iPad can do without the apps?
Oh, well, not really. The iPad
There's
is
always
apps.
An app for that.
In many ways, the iPad is apps. That's what it does. That, you know, when you get an iPad, it's a little bit of a different concept from getting a standard computer. You kind of think everything you do on the iPad is the portal is through a particular app. So that's the kind of mindset that you need. But to get back to answer your questions, no, you can't do anything without it. It's
also
an app machine.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, we get excited. We're not excited. We would comment one to another and say, gee, isn't that expensive? When in fact it's only a $10 app.
Yeah.
You know, apps are down to from a dollar through to $18, I think. And there's now some very specialist medical things that get into the hundreds, but they're huge, you know, powerful things.
What about the common argument that it's really difficult to read off of a screen?
Well, it was an argument that has been made for a long, long time about these kinds of devices, and the argument against the sort of ability to read in educational settings goes back to the old PDAs and things 10, 15 years ago or so. It's an argument that's becoming less and less tenable. I think most of us have found that the iPad is, in the right circumstances, a very, very good e-reading experience. You know, it kind of looks good. It feels very intuitive. It's got much bigger screen real estate than an iPhone or the old smartphones or whatever. And I think, you know, while things have improved, one still does have to say, in very bright conditions, yeah, it's a bit difficult to read it. So is your phone. So are a number of other things. But things are much better. And certainly in most environments, in most lecture theatre environments, in most class, seminar sorts of environments, no problems at all.
Yeah, but what we're, I think there's a hidden agenda in here called engagement. And if you're talking about black type on white paper, that's boring. So what we're talking about now in e-publication or electronic publication can include video, it can include sound, and it can include interactivity. Now, you add all that and you will find that it's a far more immersive experience.
Why do you think it was the health science students and the science students that got the free iPad? Why was it that faculty that was given the iPad to use?
I think it was the great educational vision,
that's what,
and the bravery and adventurousness, particularly of the Dean of Science.
Yes.
And he hasn't paid me to say that.
No, he hasn't.
No,
no, he hasn't.
No, no.
But the iPad is only a little piece of a very big picture with science, about the importance that science sees research and how they're redesigning their curriculum. They needed an empowerment tool, and the iPad was the best out there.
How would you respond to claims that distributing iPads to all the students, the science students, is a waste of university money?
Well, I think when you make that claim, you really do have to have a think, particularly about the context of science education, probably generally in the Western world. You know, it's as a general rule, it's been hard to get people into the sciences, studying sciences, and it's an important thing for our country and for our intellectual capital that we produce a lot more science graduates. And in some ways, in some parts of the sciences area, one does have to say that people perhaps haven't been as conscious of the need to be innovative in their teaching and learning as they have been in other sorts of places.
Yeah, and other universities who haven't even deployed anywhere near as many iPads as us are getting the same feedback. The feedback from the students is, this is different. This is exciting. It's not cool. I mean, it is cool, but that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about this as empowerment. This is learning the way I want to learn. This is the future. Now, that engagement in students has got nothing to do with faculty. So I believe there is a case for every student of every university to have a tool like this. I don't care what it is. I don't even care if it's not Apple. But something that enables them, it empowers them to interact with knowledge. Now, gone are the days of the single teacher and gone are the days of the didactic presentation. That's so last century. So we've got to do something. We've got to empower the students. And Bob Hill did just that.
Great. All right, guys. Well, thank you for educating us about the iPad. It's been great talking to you. Well,
thank you very much. We're more than happy to come and talk any time about iPads,
we'll
as
love
you can
to
see.
Have you back.
Yeah, thank you very much.